We kind of had this game marked as Riddy's game on this road trip, and he's played well for us. So it's a good chance for him tonight again, like he's done 7 or 8 games now for us. But we know who we're playing. We know that this is the best team in the league over the last couple months for sure, and we feel this is a real opportunity for us, and we're gonna have to be at our best here tonight.
I don't know. The more and more I think about it, the harder and harder it is for me to buy the fact that this was going to be David Riddick's start tonight. It's the number one team, and this is where your number one plays. Having said that, the news was good today about Mike Smith. He won't play this game. He won't play the game against Nashville, but he'll be day-to-day after that. So if you use Seinfeld math, it's like he's missing one game.
If he comes back on Saturday.
Yeah.
If he's back to play the Panthers on Saturday.
Derek Wills, radio voice of the Calgary Flames, joins us. Clearly, based on the immediate reaction in the game on Sunday and even yesterday, this had to come as really good news for everybody involved that it's day-to-day and not as bad as everybody thought after an MRI.
Yeah, you know what, guys? For me, this was better than best-case scenario. I thought best-case scenario would probably be a couple of weeks for Mike Smith, and maybe it will be, but it doesn't sound like it's going to take him that long to come back, and he could play as soon as Saturday when the Panthers come to town. So that was great news that Glenn Gulletson delivered this morning. And David Riddick certainly can get them through the next couple of games, and I believe give them a chance to beat two of the top teams in the league, in the Bruins and the Predators. But it's so good to hear that Mike Smith will be back sooner rather than later, and hopefully as soon as Saturday.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what day-to-day means. But yeah, I mean, day-to-day after Thursday means that, technically could be ready to return against the Panthers, which would definitely be way quicker than anybody expected. And guys, I'm just think about it for a second.
All right.
Who knows how these two games end up going? But David Riddick comes back. Flames win both these games. They finish 5-1 on the road trip. Whether it's Smith who starts on Saturday or Riddick who gets his first ever home start, Flames come back from this trip with 2 wins over Boston and Nashville to close it out, 2 of the best teams in the National Hockey League. All of a sudden, there's a little bit of a buzz surrounding this group. And I know that Friday's game against the Rangers was a tough one to swallow, but they bounced back nicely against the Islanders. And then you don't get the kind of nuclear winter news that we thought you might get when it comes to Mike Smith. Now, there's a real potential for this team to come back with a ton of positivity on this trip.
That's a great point. Derek?
Yeah, and you know what? I already think there's buzz around this team. When you look at the best teams in the National Hockey League going back to New Year's Eve, the Bruins are first. They have 28 points since New Year's Eve. Flames are second. They have 26 points since December 31st. So, we talk about, the Flames are going to have to play a really good game to beat the Bruins tonight and to beat the Predators on Thursday. But I think from the flip side, the media that covers the team here in Boston, the media that covers the team in Nashville, they're probably saying the same thing about the Flames, because the Flames have been one of the hottest teams in the NHL since 2018 started. And I think this is going to be a really good game tonight. And, the Bruins are a team that you could argue has been as good as anybody in the National Hockey League this season. And you look at some of their numbers, 7th best power play, 3rd best penalty kill. You look at some of their advanced stats. They're 2nd in Corsi, 2nd in Corsi close, 3rd in shot attempts. I mean, this is a team that has been a lot better than I thought they would be this season. And I think one of the big reasons why, fellas, is that some of their younger players have progressed pretty quickly, both at forward and on defense this season.
That's the big question I have. We got Billy Jaffe coming on later, and I'm going to ask Billy, but I'll ask both of you guys. Because, Pat, you spit out the number earlier. They're, 18-2-2 in their last 22 games? So, then you transpose that and look at their record. So are they on a good run? Or no, Bruce Cassidy's got them. They're dialed in. This is what they are. They belong here. I don't want to take anything away from them. It's kind of that whole thing when we were watching the Flames. They won 7 games in a row. Wow, are they an elite team? Aren't they an elite team? Is this a team on a run, or is this a really good team?
Well, I think that they're a really good team. I think that they certainly are better than I thought they were going to be. I thought Boston was going to be a competitive team, probably a playoff team, probably a top 3 team in that division. I thought they could be in that conversation. But for them to be near the top of the NHL, right now sitting 2nd overall, no, didn't see that. And I think I think the reason why I would say that this is more than just a good run is because they started the season in decent fashion, too. Like, they weren't, it's not like they got off to an awful start and then had to salvage things and just to be in a playoff spot. They got off to a pretty good start to the season, too. And, Derek, you make the point about some of their young players, and it's true. I mean, they've gotten some really good performances from some of their young guys that perhaps, you know, we weren't expecting. Like, Danton Heinen is going to finish with 50
points.
Who
is he?
I don't know. So you've got him who's going to finish in the 30-point. Torrey Krug's having a great year. Charlie McAvoy, Jake DeBrusque. You know, there's been some guys who have really been contributors on this team. And then, on top of that, Derek, also the players that they need to be at the top of the list, and they need to be dragging the team through the mud and all that type of stuff. They're doing their job. Patrice Bergeron, you know, you ask most people around the league, he's already locked up the Selke Trophy this year. And, you know, people in Boston are pushing him for Hart Trophy consideration. Brad Marchand's having another great year. And David Pastrnak has lived up to the big contract he signed. It took them forever to sign Pastrnak. They finally decided to get away from their old school thinking and sign him to a 6-year deal, and he has rewarded them. So, I mean, the young players have helped, and their top end players have been truly top end players.
Yeah, and don't forget about the goaltenders, guys, and not just Tuukka Rask, who's had a really good season, but so has Anton Khudobin, surprisingly. His numbers are really good so far this season, but I think the strength of the Bruins is their number one line. As a matter of fact, if you held the fire to my feet and you said, I want you to pick one line in the National Hockey League that you can have this season, I think I'd take Patrice Bergeron between Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak. I mean, there are a lot of good lines in this league, fellas, but I think most of those good lines have two elite players, and then you've got a third guy. And you look at the Flames, you've got two elite players with centerman Sean Monahan and left winger Johnny Gaudreau, and then a really good player in Michael Ferland on right wing. But when you look at that Bruins number one line, you've got three elite players there.
They are, you know, again, I don't think they are a team that's just on a run. I think, you know, they look like they've landed, and they look like, just based on their age, yeah, they got a couple of players that are a little bit older in the tooth, but I don't see them going anywhere. That's probably the one thing about this. And, you know, we all think back to that draft in Florida just a couple of years ago, Pat, where, you know, the Flames acquired Dougie Hamilton, and, you know, it kind of looked like Don Sweeney, the new general manager, was swimming over his head. Now, you know, I've talked to some people, Billy Jaffe's one, who still don't think that was a good draft. He had the three picks in a row and that sort of thing.
Just the one guy's playing.
So far,
Zboril and Sinishin are not playing right now. And
DeBrusque is, yeah. Having said that, I give Don Sweeney a lot of credit. And I also give, you know, the Bruins took it right in the teeth when they let Claude Julien go last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
They took it right in the teeth.
Mm-hmm.
But Bruce Cassidy has come in, and Bruce Cassidy knew a lot of these guys, you know, through the system. They look to me like they're here. They look like they've arrived.
Yeah, they look the same way to me, Rob. And I must admit, when they traded Dougie Hamilton, I wondered what direction this team was going in.
Right.
I really did. I was wondering if they might blow it up and start from scratch and maybe potentially move some other guys as well. But, you know, clearly they were just retooling at the time, and they looked pretty smart for making that trade. And, you know, you'll have to wait and see how those three first-round picks in a row turn out. But DeBrusque's a pretty good player, and he's been contributing this season. So this is a good team. I don't know with their defense core if I would consider them to be in the elite category, but maybe I'm not giving them enough credit because I haven't seen them with my own two eyes in person this season. So I'm looking forward to seeing them tonight. I know that some of these young defensemen have progressed and are probably going to be better than the last time I saw them. And
right.
In the case of Charlie McAvoy, I haven't seen him play a National Hockey League game with my own two eyes. So I'm looking forward to seeing him tonight. But really good team here. And I do give Cam Neely and Don Sweeney some credit because they've made some difficult decisions over the last couple of years. Not all of them were popular with the media and the fans here in Boston, but you know, you can't worry about that when you're running an NHL team. You've got to do what you think is best because you should have more information than we have, and they've done a great job with this Bruins squad.
Pat, what I don't know, and I'm wondering if you have any insight, is will they be buyers? Are they looking for something coming up here within the next 13 days?
Well,
because I don't hear them a lot. Do you?
No, they have. They definitely have not. You know, you're not hearing a lot of, ooh, the Bruins might be in on that player. I mean, I believe there's been a couple of things that have connected them to Rick Nash, but I would be surprised if the Rangers would trade Nash to Boston. It just seems like they would be looking to move him out west. But they've got the thing about the Bruins is they have the ability in terms of assets to be able to go out and get something done. They've got all their picks in the next three draft years, except a fifth-round pick this year. So they have their draft picks, their stock there. They don't have extra draft picks, but they've got all of theirs. They've got some prospects. They've got some young players. You know, you take a look at the players that they drafted. The three players that they got, for instance, to bring back from Dougie Hamilton. Sinishin has not been great so far, but the two second round picks, Jeremy Lauzon and Jacob Forsbacka Carlson, a lot of people like those players, right?
So
all of a sudden they've got some prospects to part with on top of a good bevy of draft picks. So if they wanted to, they could absolutely go and make something happen. And Derek, to your point, I wonder if they were to be buyers, if they were to go out and try to add, if it wouldn't be on the back end. Because I think that Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo are both really, really good stories. Carlo's 21, McAvoy's 20, and we're talking about players who are playing everyday minutes in the top six in the NHL, and that's hard to do at that age. But you wonder if maybe they don't look at it and say, a veteran defenseman, a guy who maybe has, you know, four, five, six seasons under his belt that they could go on and acquire at the trade deadline, if that might not be something that they'd be looking to do before next Monday.
Yeah, and the good thing for the Bruins is I don't think they need a top three defenseman, guys. I like their top three with Chara, McAvoy, and Krug. I think they could probably use a bottom three guy, maybe someone to bump Carlo down to their third pairing and just add a little bit of depth. But their top three on defense is fantastic. And I thought Char was starting to look a little bit old the last couple of seasons, but he looks rejuvenated. And I can't help but wonder if one of the reasons why is that he's playing with this terrific young player in Charlie McAvoy. And I know that, talking to Taylor Hall, he talked about how much fun he's having playing with two good young players with the Devils. And maybe it's the same for Zdeno Chara with the Bruins this season.
Derek, before we let you go, you're an Eastern guy. Jerry Howarth, retiring today, is the voice of the Jays. You fill the same role here. Any thoughts on the retirement of Jerry Howarth?
Absolutely. I mean, what a career Jerry Howarth had. And I know it probably isn't coming to an end on the terms that he wanted it to with some challenges with his health. But growing up in Southern Ontario as a Blue Jays fan, him and Tom Cheek were the voices of baseball for me. And I love listening to baseball on the radio. And those guys made you feel like you were at Exhibition Stadium or Sky Dome or Rogers Center. And they made you just feel like they were your friends. And I had a chance to meet Jerry on a number of occasions. Really nice man and just a great broadcaster. And, you know, didn't have the booming voice, certainly no Barry White, but, you know, that voice became so familiar and so comfortable for me and for millions of baseball fans across this country. So, tip of the hat to Jerry Howarth for an outstanding career. And I hope that his health kind of turns the corner a little bit. And looking forward to seeing the Blue Jays pay tribute to him, just kind of like our company did a little bit earlier today, which was fantastic to see.
Good stuff, pal. We'll bring you back in just a little over an hour from now. Enjoy the game in Boston tonight.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good night.
There you go. Derek Wills, the radio voice of the Calgary Flames. The Daily Flames Roundtable.